Let's try it again. Morning.
Morning.
That's pretty good. So anyway, I was saying, like, Brian and Sam, you know, as they're preaching, they're trying to pull from you responses,
that's right?
It's, especially Sam. He's like, yeah, you know, are you out there? Are you listening? You know, he wants you to respond. And so I was thinking about that today as I was getting going, and I was preparing to bring you the word, and I thought, you know what? They need to respond today. So I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a modification where I'm going to say what Brian says. I'm going to prompt you a little bit, and then I'm going to ask you to do kind of what Sam says and kind of keep it going. So if you have your bulletins and you look at those, you see that today's title is Disruptions. So what I would like to have you say is disruption, okay? You can pull the S off of it, but on the count of three, just give me a good old response. One, two, three. That's great. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about some examples, and I'd like to have you give me, if the whole room could give me a response, that would be great. But if you're really feeling it, give it a little bit of an extra feel. I think that would be great. So let's talk about some disruptions this morning. All of us face disruptions on a daily basis, that's for sure, if not hourly and maybe sometimes minute by minute. Let's try this one on for size. Alarms that wake us up from precious sleep. Mm-hmm. Phone calls from solicitors during the middle of a lovely dinner with family. The dogs need to go out, and you're right in the middle of your favorite show, and it's at the climax of the time, and you're like, dip, hop, dogs. Yeah, they're so lovable, but doggone it, they got to pee. Outside, hopefully, right? You know, make that decision. You don't want to have to really be a disruption and clean up the mess. I mean, that's ridiculous. Daylight saving time. Amen and hallelujah. Golly, Bob, I felt it last week. I'm like, why am I so tired? I'm like, daylight saving time, you dirty thing. Disturbances and disruptions like this are common, and the things that we expect. I mean, think about it. You know, we're the ones who set the alarm clock. You know, we're the ones who bought the dog or adopted the dog. I mean, good grief. Now, I mean, I bought the phone. I just don't want the solicitors to call. But that, anyway. But then there's unexpected disruptions in our life. Let's talk about some of those. Surprise birthday parties. Okay, yeah, I feel you. Yeah. The announcement of a pregnancy. Peter, would that disrupt you? Oh, yeah, I'd say. Let's see, six and counting. No more. If you know Peter, so Peter and Stephanie have six children. Yeah, so the announcement of a pregnancy would be like, what are you saying? All right, you ready for this one? Finding a black hair in your food and you're a blonde. Let me hear it. That's so grody. That's so nasty. Do they still say grody, Layla? Okay, well, I'm going to say it. I said it. Because I feel it too, grody. Oh. So thanks for the responses. I mean, that was great, and it really is helpful as a speaker to hear your responses and to get involved. And thanks for doing that. And you know, disruptions in our life that are expected, and some that are unexpected, and then there are some disruptions in our life that are foundationally. They just shake the inner foundation of your life. I would like to say it this way. They're gut-wrenching. Losing your life savings due to a crooked financial institution. Now, you don't have to respond, but that's rough. The loss of a child or a loved one. Unexpected. Unexpected. Personally, today marks the 27th anniversary of a major disruption in Stacy and I's life. On March 19th, 1996, I had just turned 27. A few days earlier, I turned 27 a few days earlier, and I was involved in a head-on collision that would leave me with four fewer organs and a 3% chance to live. This all happened 2 days before our first child was due to be born. I think I need everybody to help me out with this one and give me a big disruption. Ready? Well, I'm here. We beat the odds. God was all over that. Our firstborn is here. And so is my first grandchild. Whew. That's some good stuff. Thank you, God. Disruptions in our lives challenge us. And in those challenges, we find that decisions have to be made. So I want us to focus in on something this morning. And I don't want to just whip right through it, but I want to say this. Disruptions lead to decisions, which will lead to another D. And that is a decision that will lead to, and I want to suggest this to you, a denial. We're going to have to chew on that a little bit today as we unpack this, but I would like to pray with you right now. Let's pray. Father, we are going to be hearing from you today, and I pray that you would give us wisdom and courage as we open our hearts as we listen to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, in our current series of studies, we find ourselves in Matthew 26, and Peter spoke about the Last Supper. Brian spoke last week of the cup of wrath that Jesus had to drink. He didn't have to drink it, but he drank it. You'll find out what I mean if you missed last week's message. And this is now where we find Jesus predicts a disruption for Peter. Peter is one of Jesus' closest disciples. The verse that I'm going to start with actually starts after the one that Peter had brought to us on the Last Supper. And I'm going to read right here from the Word. And when you turn 27 two times in your life, sometimes you need glasses. So 54 is doing some wonders on my eyes. So let's read it together. Here we go. On the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. Now, I don't know if you're like me, anything like me or not, but when I'm so certain of something in my life, and I've gone through the processes of making sure that I'm certain about something in my life, and then somebody challenges me with that certainty, I inwardly bristle up. Do you find yourself there? I just inwardly kind of go, "Oh yeah? Oh, watch this. I'm not going to do it." Or, "That's not going to happen." And if you have studied anything about Peter, if you know anything about Peter, Peter was a little zealous and he was after some things, and especially for God. When he made that decision and that certainty, and we find here that Peter's like, no exclamation mark, I would never do that. Bristled up against what Jesus said. I mean, goodness sakes, I mean, Jesus had, he'd been with Jesus all these years. I mean, he'd seen people, he'd seen Jesus tell the Sadducees and the others that he knew exactly what they were thinking. But Peter's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. So, you know, one of the things that I want to say about that is that I think that Peter was probably thinking and wondering, maybe he might be thinking this, like inside, like, is this a test? Jesus called me the rock before. I'm solid. I'm certain. But if we go back a few chapters in Matthew to chapter 16, actually I'm going to need to read this different version here, we find where the conversation happens, and I think it's important for the context today, so let's read that here. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he gave the disciples strict orders that they were to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to point out to the disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and to be killed, and to be raised up on the third day. And yet, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's purposes, but men's." Did you catch that? Peter was just called the rock by Jesus, and then he was called Satan. I mean, come on. I mean, just a few short verses here, and I'm surely thinking that it was a few short minutes. Peter pulls him aside, and, "Lord, it's not going to happen. Get behind me, Satan." It's like, whoa. So we read on in the chapter where we find Jesus takes them to Gethsemane. Later on now, we're in chapter 26 now. A few time has passed and things are getting closer. And like I said, if you were here last Sunday when Brian spoke about the cup, this cup was filled with God's wrath. And Jesus had to, he was in a gut-wrenching disruption. Jesus is crying out over the challenge of God's wrath being completely and utterly poured out on him. And during these verses, Jesus deals with three disruptions of his own. Three times while he's crying out to God, he gets up to check on Peter, James, and John. Let's read about that now. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away, unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. Jesus was disrupted 3 times. But I wonder if at first you think that those disruptions have to do something with the disciples sleeping. They don't. The disruptions are actually related to Jesus crying out to his Father. 3 times Jesus' certainty of God's prophesied plan long ago is disrupted as he cries out, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. As I mentioned earlier, after a disruption in our lives, I want to suggest that there comes a decision. Jesus was having to make a decision, and that decision leads to denial. Jesus was having to make a decision, and it led to him being in denial. Jesus denied himself and chose the will of the Father. We turn to Peter now. In Matthew 26, the story continues, and it tells us that Jesus was arrested and taken to the high priest, and Peter followed from a distance. And he made his way into the courtyard where he waited to see the outcome. Let's pick back up where Peter is disrupted. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, you were one of those with Jesus the Galilean. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Later out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denied it. This time, with an oath, I don't even know the man, he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent. Peter swore, a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly. Peter's fervency to follow Jesus and even be put to death with him is disrupted 3 times that night. his disruptions led to decisions. Three times, Peter's had to decide whether he even knew Jesus, whether he was going to tell him, I know Jesus. Yeah, that's me. Or not. Peter decided that he never knew Jesus. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know the man. And the final disruption of the rooster crowing brought about the realization within Peter that he had done just as Jesus had said. Peter had chosen to deny his relationship with Jesus, and it led to bitterness and sorrow. You see, Peter, the rock, chose himself. Jesus denied himself, and he did the Father's will. He drank the cup of God's wrath by going to the cross. Peter chose himself, but Jesus chose you and me. So what do we do with this today? How does this relate to us in our lives right now, right here? Let me suggest to you that Peter chose the superficial aspect, whereas Jesus chose the supernatural. Superficial relates to the surface of things. It has a mind of earthly aspects. It holds tightly to the very present. When you're superficial or you're dealing with a superficial person, there's not a lot there, right? They're not going to hold on to something. They're superficial. Supernaturally relates to beyond the nature of things. It has a mind of the heavenly. It has a mind of God. It has a mind where I'm not just thinking about right now and right here and what's in for me. I'm thinking about what's beyond this. There's a lot more to come. How are my actions and my interactions going to affect those around me? And how is it that I'm going to be a good image of Jesus to those for beyond this time? Superficially, supernaturally. For us, we're disrupted many times throughout the day. I said that before. Throughout the day, we're interrupted or disrupted by things that are expected, things that are unexpected, but nonetheless, they're challenges. They challenge us, and then we have to make a decision. Am I going to get out of bed? Am I going to go to work? What am I going to do with this disruption? Sometimes our disruptions are from God Himself, and we must decide. Do we turn to ourselves and deny Jesus? Or do we turn to God and deny ourselves, our selfishness, our leaning on our own understanding? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. 27 years ago today, God disrupted my life. I stand before you today, not perfect, but healed. in some aspects, I'm half a man, but made whole because of God. I will tell you the truth. God is worth denying. Deny yourself and follow me. That's what the scriptures say over and over again. Will you deny yourself and follow Jesus? That's the question for you today. When the disruptions of your life come and you have a decision to make, some of those big ones, will we find ourselves supporting God's will in our life or supporting our own? Our decision to follow our will instead of God's will only lead to a disruptive life without answers, without wholeness, without Jesus. It will be void of his love that heals our hearts, forgives our sins, and removes our guilt. Disruption, decision, denial. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're challenged by these words because when it comes to our will, we want to have it our way a lot of times. In fact, I think many times this world promotes that so often. But Father, I pray that as you wrestle with us and you speak to our hearts and you work in us, that we'll be reminded that it is a daily thing, that we deny ourselves and we say, Father, I want your will today. This is your day. This is the day that you have made, and I pray that as I step into it, that you will lead and guide, and that I won't lean on my own understandings, and I will allow you to work in me, and I'll allow you to be so present so that when those disruptions come in my life, I will turn to you rather than distraught or my own understanding or my own ways. I give you my life. I give you the way I think. Father, I pray that you would work in us today. And Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing so much in my own life. I give you praise for the blessings upon blessings. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.